My name is Moa Sheikh. I am 15 years old. Today is November 25, 2017, and I'm speaking with Imran Sheikh, who is my dad. We are recording this interview in Ashburn, Virginia. So let's begin. So let's start off with your childhood and asking some stuff about how you grew up. So do you remember what high school you went to and what was its name?
You know, there they were actually colleges, not the high school. You know, we have 10th grade till high school, and after that we have colleges. So we have a college, then we have university. So my college was named as Delhi College. It's one of the top colleges at that time.
In Pakistan, right? So yeah. In Pakistan, the system is a little bit different. There's something called metric and inter. Can you explain like what inter and metric is?
Metric is like till 10th grade, and intermediate they call 11th and 12th grade, which is high school here.
Or college.
But there they call it college.
Yeah.
First and second year college, and they call intermediate.
Okay. I know that you went to the top engineering school in Pakistan at the time, which is NED. So how did you and what did you have to do to get into the university at the time in Pakistan, and what did you study at the university?
So we have to study like physics, math and chemistry to get into the engineering university, and biology and physics and chemistry to go into the medical school. So we have to really tough competition. When we were giving exam for 12th grade with physics, math, and chemistry for going into the university, you know, one of the top university called NED, University of Engineering Technology, we have almost 10,000 candidates. And out of 10,000, only 500 were given chance to get into it. So we really had to work hard to get into that school. 500 out of 10,000. So you have to be really top to get into there.
Top of your, okay. So, as you said, that not only kids from Delhi College applied for the university, how many do you speculate of the city applied for that university? How many high colleges?
So this is, they have like two big university for engineering and two big medical colleges for the, to become a doctor. So since I got my physics, maths, and chemistry, so I have to go only, I can only go to engineering university. So I applied two of them and I got in both of them. So I have to pick up electrical engineering because at that time electrical engineering was very popular.
Okay, yeah, that's good. So, of course, by how you got into that top university, you probably did enjoy going to school. So what interested you as a child? What field of study when you were just going to regular primary school and secondary school?
So I want to be engineer from the very beginning, and you know I want to get engineering in electrical engineering and get something in computer, but at that time there was no higher education in computer engineering. So first we have to go to electrical engineering, and then to pursue higher study I have to go overseas, like England or USA. Exactly. Or Australia.
Exactly. Yeah, because to like get the bigger opportunity, right?
Yes. No, to get your master in computer engineering, there was no master program in back home.
Yeah, correct. Okay, so tell me about a teacher or other adult who has impacted your life when growing up.
You know, our teacher, especially in our high school, what we called it intermediate in back home, the teachers were really, really very good. Especially my mathematics teacher and physics teacher, they were excellent. They inspire us to get education in engineering. And that's one of the reason, you know, because of our great teacher, that I was able to get in the top university
NED.
In Karachi.
NED. Okay, that's great. So what jobs did you have as a teenager? What did you do with the money that you earned?
So while I was in the engineering university, I start teaching in the part-time colleges in the evening time. So what I used to do, actually, I used to go to university in the morning from 8 o'clock till 2 p.m. And after I came home, after the lunch, I used to go and teach in the evening classes for high school physics, math, and chemistry. High school means intermediate colleges, you know, in back home. So I start teaching physics, math, and chemistry from very early age. And I was a teacher, I was a part-time teacher in the evening for almost 5 years while I was doing my undergrad in electrical engineering.
Good, okay. And you obviously earned money from that money. Obviously earned money from that job.
So I used to make very good money, actually. To be very honest, I used to make like 5,000 rupee, which is like $5,000 at that time per month, which is actually a very good amount to be, you know, to make as a student. So I was just, saving money for my studies overseas. That was my goal. So I was working hard at the university, and at the same time, I was teaching, you know, it's like private tuition and in private colleges in the evening to make money. And I end up saving almost 70,000 rupees to get here to U.S.
Okay, so from what you've said, your metric and college years, from those years, you've already had that dream to get into the NED university and then come to America or like a different country. So you already wanted to get out of Pakistan and pursue like your career.
Yeah, because the reason is that they don't have any master program in computer engineering. So I have to go, in US, or I have to go to like Australia or Singapore and one of those countries to get my master in computer engineering. But, you know, US have a number of universities. So I was planning to go to US while I was studying my bachelor, when I was getting my undergrad degree. I was actually, preparing to get a master in computer engineering.
Okay. So in your metric and college years, or like in your, let's say, like primary, secondary school years, did you ever get bullied by anyone as a kid or a teen? And what did they call you or say to you as a nickname or something?
All the time. I got bullied because I was so skinny. So people used to call me like crazy things. So, in my language, you probably won't understand what they used to call me. But the reason, it's with everybody, Everybody got some nicknames there. And depending on your physical, how you look physically, people start giving me name. Since I was so skinny, they used to call me so many things like bag of bone. So
okay, yeah, exactly.
It's very common.
So yeah, even though everyone gets bullied and like gets called name in their childhood, but although this did occur, you still pursued your dream and excelled in education, stuff like that. You disregarded all those comments and stuff like that, correct?
Yeah, of course. You have to look at the big picture. If you just keep thinking about those bullying, you will not be able to. I would not be able to make all those things which I have done. So to counter that, I start teaching. So I got a lot of respect, from my student. I used to teach when I was very young, and the student was almost like my age, maybe a couple of years younger than me. And my student used to like me a lot. So that gave me a lot of confidence.
Okay. So now let's talk about when you came to America. So when you came to America, how were your experiences like? Who were your first friends? And who came to America with you at the time when you traveled alone?
So basically, when I was start applying, I have some friends in Michigan. They were going some schools in Michigan, Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti. So I applied some school in Michigan. One of them was Wayne State University, and the other one was U of D. And some of my friends was in Oklahoma, so I applied in University of Oklahoma. So before you even get to the university, you have to pass certain exam. For example, you have to have a TOEFL, a good score of TOEFL over 550. And then you have to give an exam called GRE. These were the requirement for any of the university to give you an I-20. I-20 means they're going to give you an admission in their university. Once you get I-20, based on your TOEFL score, based on your GRE score, and based on your GPA, in your undergrad, they accept you and they give you an I-20. We take this I-20 and went to the embassy to get the visa. So I got the visa right away to come here. And I prefer to come in Michigan because I have some friends already here. And they told me about the university, about Wayne State University, that it's a good urban school. that's the reason I came to Michigan.
Okay, so so you had to definitely like pass and obtain a good score in these tests, etc., to get into the university. So you had to be very intelligent and get a good education to give those tests, correct?
Yeah. So in Pakistan, the educational system is pretty good, especially the theory wise. They teach you a lot of theoretical stuff. Unfortunately, they don't have too many practical way to teach you. You know, they don't have good labs. They don't have good practical lab where you can do a lot of hands-on. So, but we were very good, you know, theoretically. So once you showed them that you have the right, you know, education, then they give you admission in one of the university to go for graduation, to grad study, to get a master. So I got my bachelor's. So that was my plan from the very beginning, to get my master from US.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so now let's change the topic a little bit. So out of all the many jobs that you've had throughout your whole lifetime until now, which one stands out to be one of your favorites from any of the American jobs that you've had?
So basically, you know, when I came to university, when I was a student, you know, in my master program, I got a job in a computer lab. It's called Computing and Information Technology Lab, where they have all the student of the, you know, undergrad program, grad program, postgraduate program. Everybody used to come there and use their computing facilities. They use their, you know, Macintosh computer. They use their Windows computer. They use the printers. So they use their, you know, graphic printer. So I was there as a lab assistant. So I used to assist student to how to work on the computer, how to create their files, how to do their homework and finish their assignment, and then saving it on a disk. You know, that was, I'm talking about early 90s, where, you know, it was very new for the student. So we were there working as a helper. You know, we were there helping a student to get their job done, you know, on a computer. So we used to help them. It's like a help desk and a local area LAN environment. And that was my first job. I really liked that job. After that, my first job was as a programmer at IBM. That's one of the, you know, very famous companies. And I worked there as a programmer. They were actually developing an operating system just like Windows. And it used to call OS2. It was one of the very earliest days of the operating system. And from there on, I got very, very, very valuable experience. I worked there 1 year, and then I quit that job and start working for a company called MCI WorldCom. MCI WorldCom is one of the biggest competitor at that time for AT&T. Mm-hmm. And these were the two largest telecom company at that time in US, AT&T and MCI WorldCom. I worked at MCI WorldCom for almost 6 years. Then I joined the company called Cisco System. Cisco System is one of the top company in not only in the US, but in the whole world. And I worked there for a while, and I worked there in one of the, in their world headquarters in San Jose, California. And that was my favorite job.
Cisco Systems?
Cisco Systems.
Was your favorite job?
Yeah.
Because it was one of the most renowned companies. And
yes.
You worked in the headquarters in California.
Yeah, and in California, in San Jose, they have a drive called Cisco Way. And there's a road named Tasman Drive. And they have almost literally like 40, 50 buildings, one after the other. Huge state-of-the-art building, you know, of the Cisco system. So it was an amazing sight, you know, just to be Cisco buildings everywhere. Then they have all the other big companies are there. They have Microsoft Office, they have Applied Material, Intel Corporation, Sony Corporation. All the big names are in San Jose, California. Okay. And it was an exciting time.
Including Apple, I suppose.
Including Apple. You know, Yahoo was coming up at that time. They start coming up. Yahoo was there. And then Google was just right at the beginning at that time. That was the start for the Google. So I was in San Jose, and we had a very good time in San Jose.
Okay. And like, so in Cisco Systems, what was the work that you did there? It definitely involved computers, obviously.
Yeah, of course. They were doing a new technology called Voice over IP. It's called Voice over Internet, where they were sending the voice instead of traditional phone line on the internet. So it will be cheaper and it will be easy to maintain. So that was the start of that technology. And we were working on their voice over IP gateways. They were developing, Cisco system was developing at that time, which became very popular in later years. So we work in some pioneer technology. It's one of the hot technology at that time called voice over IP, based on Cisco's, wow, Cisco's equipment.
Okay, that's very interesting. Okay, so now let's change the topic a little bit more, and let's go to your marriage day. So describe your marriage day, and was it like you imagined, and where were you at the time of university studies, and what job and occupation were you?
So once I got my job, I was working for IBM. My mom started telling me, you know, you need to get married. So I was, you know, she was telling me that I'm going to find a girl and we'll send you a picture. So when she find a girl, when she find somebody, she sent me a picture. Actually, this is the second picture. I think this is the first picture she sent me, which was my wife, my current wife. And when I look at the picture, she was so pretty. I said, go for it. So that was my experience, you know, when I got the picture and I saw it and I say, okay, mom, yeah, I like it. And that's how we got married, basically. When I went there, everything was arranged. When I went to back home in 1995, everything was arranged and we were just there. I reached there like 2 days before my marriage. And then the ceremony happened after a couple of days. And here is my wife. I'm meeting her for the first time in my life. And that was my marriage night.
Oh, okay.
That's how I got married.
So
it was all arranged.
It was all arranged, definitely, yeah. So, but of course, like Pakistani tradition, there's many marriage days where there, but the official marriage day where the nikah, where the actual official documentation happens, was that day like you imagined when you first saw your wife?
Yeah, so, you know, the whole process take almost more than a week, you know. They have so many ceremonies going on. But the real thing is this, when you really sign the paper that you are marrying to this woman or this girl, and then once you married it, then they say something like marriage reception when you pick up the girl and bring it to your home. Uh-huh. So that was a pretty strange feeling, you know. You know, I'm meeting the girl for the first time in my life, and here she is. She's my wife now. You guys won't understand this thing, so don't worry about it.
Okay. And was your wife like you imagined when you saw her the first time?
Oh, man, she was
or
beautiful.
Was she more than what you imagined?
Oh, man, she's like more than my dream come true, you know. She was so pretty. Actually, as a matter of fact, when I bring her here in U.S., my friend used to tell me, man, your wife is so pretty. Wherever you used to go, like in a mall, oh, they look at her and say, oh, she was so pretty, you know. So I was very happy, no doubt about it.
Okay, that's very interesting to know. Okay, let's move on to the next question. So did you guys attend a honeymoon, and where did you guys go?
So when I was, when I got married, I was working for MCI WorldCom in Colorado Springs. And Colorado is a beautiful state, you know. So, and I was living in a on a street called Garden of the Gods. So there's a beautiful Garden of the Gods there, actually. This is the name of a big park. It's called Garden of the Gods. And we were living right there. There's a big mountain, and we were living at the valley, right at the bottom of the mountain. And it was so pretty. It was like a honeymoon for anybody. So for me and my wife, living in an apartment like a honeymoon.
So, okay, so the first place where your mom came from Pakistan to get settled, that place was basically like a honeymoon, but it was also like your home.
Yeah, that was like my workplace also. I was working for a project for MCI WorldCom there. There's a huge MCI WorldCom at that time. And, you know, and my wife never saw snow in her life. So when I bring her here, it was March or in end of March, and it was still snowing in Colorado. And my wife was like surprised to see the snow for the first time in her life.
Okay, because Pakistan is definitely a tropical area in Asia, and there doesn't snow there often.
Because in Pakistan, there where she used to live in Karachi, city of Karachi, there it's never snows. So she never experienced snow in her life. So
yeah, that's the same for you, though, right? Okay.
Yeah, but I used to live in Michigan, so I have seen snow already. I was in Virginia, so I have seen snow already. But my wife, that was the first time for her.
Correct. That makes sense. Okay. So let's move on to the next question. So Share some important lessons that you have learned in life through your experiences with work, everything that you've gone through to get to America.
So basically, if you don't fool around, you know, you focus on study. So you have to look for the big picture, you know. You don't look on a short-term goal. You have to look on the long-term goal. What is your, you know, horizon? So, you know, if when while going to school, there are so many distractions, right? You have a, you can party all night. But, you know, whenever there is a time, I have spare time, I used to work to make extra money. You know, working extra hour in the school lab, working, you know, sometime in a gas station, just to make some extra money. So my goal was to look for, you know, to finish my study as soon as possible. So whenever I got extra time, I used to spend, you know, especially work. Oh, I used to work in a library also. So whenever I got extra time, you know, I just wanted to make money so that I can save money for the next semester. And then, you know, I can finish my study as soon as possible. I can start working, you know. That was my goal. So you have to look for the long terms.
Okay, and you want
not
to,
for the short term.
After your studies and stuff like that, you want to establish a family in America, settle.
Yeah, exactly. You know, since my mom already found somebody for me, so I have to start thinking about her. So you know, to start a family, you know, and you know that's how it is.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. So going back to your college, your university years, how long did it take you to actually complete your master's in America?
So basically, you know, it's usually take a little over two years. Since I you know, one of the summer I did not take the whole summer because I was working, but I was able to finish in exactly 2 years.
In
2 years, just because in master you don't have to finish a lot of credit. You need to like 35 to 36 credit hour. That's are enough for the master. So I did my master in computer engineering. So since I had a bachelor in electrical engineering, but we have all the elective was already been, you know, I have all the prereq done. So I was able to start master right away. And it took me almost 2 years to finish my master, which is not bad.
Yeah, considering you're a new student in America.
Yeah, and even before finishing my all my masters, I was able to find a job at IBM, as I mentioned
earlier. Before finishing your master's?
Yeah, it was my last semester. And I got interview at IBM, I think just a month before my last semester, when I got my offer from IBM.
And did you start the work in your last semester or after you completed?
No. After I finished my studies.
Exactly. So you would have time to actually finish the semester.
Yeah.
Okay, so throughout your life, what have you accomplished so far that you are the most proud of?
So, you know, there's a number of accomplishments, but, you know, the most proud of I am proud of my two kids, you know, my daughter and my son. They are my asset. And to give them good education, you know, how to face difficulties, how to face challenges, you know, to teach them, you know, that's my assets.
Okay.
And that's my biggest accomplishment, you know, having a good family. And of course, I have a wonderful wife who take care of the family. She's a stay-home mom, and she gives 100% of her time to her family.
Okay. Yes, that is very interesting. Okay, so moving on, share some funny childhood memories that you had.
I don't know. I don't remember anything, you know, exactly. But we have, as you know, in back home, it's funny that, you know, sometimes the memories I have, you know, sometimes like we used to play cricket a lot. You know, we used to have night matches, you know, in the night time we used to play, you know, cricket night matches. And my dad was very strict, you know, for us to stay late in the night. We have to be at home as soon as it get dark. But sometime when I used to play late, you know, in the night, my dad used to, you know, wait outside, you know, for me to get in. So I have to get through the back door, you know, just through topple the wall to get into the home sometime.
Really?
Yes.
And so he wouldn't notice that you were
exactly. Then he wouldn't notice that, you know, I was playing outside.
Okay, wow, okay, that's very interesting. Okay, a couple more questions left. So Tell me some stuff about your independent life as a bachelor in America. So a bachelor.
That was a fun life because, you know, you have to go to work. Then in the evening, I used to come back. I usually don't eat outside. You know, I usually used to cook my food. So I used to cook, you know, and that was very interesting. But I didn't know very good cooking. In the beginning, it took some time, you know. But almost every other day, I used to cook, you know, two dishes. One with rice with some kind of, you know, like vegetable mixed together. And then I used to bring like chicken or like goat. And then I used to make goat or chicken curry. So I used to cook one day and then keep it for like 2 or 3 days. Cool. So that was tough. Then you have to do like, you know, your own laundry. Then you have to take care of your car. If there's an issue in the car, you know, there's so many things you have to do it. And it's very challenging as a bachelor.
Yeah.
But once I get married, at least, you know, that become very easy for me.
Obviously, yeah. And you did not live alone, obviously, as a bachelor, right?
So no, as a bachelor, you know, I used to live, you know, we used to get a bigger home, and then we used to share with my couple of friends, you know, so that we can share the utilities, we can share the room rent. So usually, you know, in a bigger home with 3-bedroom kind of apartment, we used to have, like, usually have 3 people living, you know.
Together.
So that we can share the rent and share the utility bill and things like that.
Okay, yeah, correct. Because if you would live alone, you would...
Exactly.
Okay. So let's move on to the final question. So lastly, thinking about future generations, knowing they might hear this recording, is there wisdom or advice you would like to give them?
You know, work hard, be honest. You know, whatever you are trying to do, you know, you have to give it honestly, you know. Honesty is the best policy. You should... everything you do, you should focus, you know, don't distract yourself with short-term things. Look for a long-term goal. And that's my advice.
All right. Thank you for this interview. And, yeah.
We have finished. Yeah. With a light bandar over there.